I had my stress test, my chemical stress test. I've had about three of those stress tests to see if I had a blockage back in the past. And you got to get on that treadmill and go until a certain spot, and then they inject the dye into your system. You got to have so many heartbeats going. And this chemical test, you just have to sit there. They shoot that drug in your arm, and then your heart starts going like you're walking 5 miles an hour. And then you sit around and drink coffee. They say you have to drink coffee to get this out of your system. Anyway, I have no blockages, which is great. I didn't want to have to go through that deal again. Anybody else have a word of praise before we start? Anybody have a word of testimony? Lucy. Yeah. Jackie Long's sister-in-law passed away, and she was married to Ron Wallace, who's one of our Alliance pastors. Anyone else have a word of praise? Well, good. We're all praised out. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 4. You've been waiting for this. Last weekend was my weekend off. The agreement that I made with the board was that I have one Sunday per month off. And so I was off last Sunday. You knew it. And Art was here and shared the word. And part of the weekend, not on Sunday, I was selling hats in State College with my daughter Amy and my granddaughter Bree. And a fellow came up to me and said, "How are you?" And he's talking to me. He's older. And I said, "Well, here's the deal, buddy. I've been a pastor for 47 years. I'm 78 years old. I'm standing on the streets of State College selling hats to people in my retirement years just to make a go of it." Oh, I thought he was going to give me some money, but he didn't do it. I know how to work the crowd. I do. That's why Amy wants me to go to these big events so that I can work the crowd and I can sell those hats and she can fix her pull up so I can swim there. There you go. That's it. Now we're going to look at Daniel 4. Are you going to read, my brother? I've worked it out with this guy, Thomas, to do some reading. There you go, pal.
Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, "Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation." These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, let him be given to the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you."
Now, a couple weeks ago, I was sleeping on my bed, and it was early in the morning, and I thought, Judy just gave me a kiss on the cheek. And here was my dog, Frenchie, licking my face. He wanted to get up and go out. Well, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, has all these dreams. Isn't it amazing? This is like the third one that we're going to be looking at. And this chapter is Nebuchadnezzar's final testimony in his final surrender to the Lord. Now, I've said this to a couple people, and they kind of wonder. And they wonder if Nebuchadnezzar really went to be in that place when he died, that place of rest, that paradise where the people that believe in the God and in God and follow him, if he really went there, and maybe we'll see him in heaven. I think we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven, but it's between him and the Lord. But that's my opinion. Before we go on, let's pray. Father God, we praise you for your love, for your direction in our lives. Help us to look deeply in ourselves this day. Help us to determine in our hearts that you will be the Lord of our lives. Help us to welcome the Holy Spirit to lead every area of our lives into a deeper walk and relationship with you. I pray today for those of our church family that may be sick, those that are discouraged, those that are disheartened, those that are sorrowing, that you would bring comfort to them. Open our hearts and our eyes to this word that's before us. Bless us now. Bless each one for coming. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the story of Nebuchadnezzar is of a guy who was very prideful. We have seen it in these first three chapters, and we're going to see it in this fourth chapter, that he was filled with pride. And in the first few verses of that chapter, and I put it down, I got to get back there, and we're going to take a little deeper look at that. Nebuchadnezzar the king, and here's what he says to the people. "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you." And this is like an edict. It's like a word from President Trump to the whole U.S., okay? I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, this guy kind of knows God, but he declares this to the whole nation. And as Thomas read, he's got this dream again. Fortunately, he hasn't said that he's going to chop people up in pieces and burn their houses down if they don't give him a good word about this dream. It's amazing that in all three chapters, we see that God is pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. God is after him. God is speaking to him. And I'm sure that many of you could say, God had to be after me for a long time till I yielded, till I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking in our hearts, convicting us of things that we've done, allowing things to happen in our lives that are just unbelievable. And you say, why did this happen? Is this really a good God? So the first dream was that of the statue. You remember that dream. And Nebuchadnezzar calls all the sorcerers, and he calls all the Chaldeans, and he calls these people, and he says, listen, you've got to tell me what the dream is, and then you've got to interpret the dream. Nobody could do it, so off with their heads. And then he's headed for Daniel. And Daniel said, let me pray about this. I like that. Let me pray about this. If I don't have an answer, I'll say to somebody, oh, let me pray about it. And they'll think then I'm going to come up with some great thing, and I hope I do. But it kind of gets me off the hook if I don't have an answer. I'll pray about it, and we'll see how it goes. And Daniel interprets the dream of that statue that was made of different metals. And then Nebuchadnezzar says this after that in chapter 2, verse 47. The king answered Daniel, and here's what he says. Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. There's one for God. Number one, this God has revealed that dream. And Nebuchadnezzar is praising Daniel's God. And we can see that Nebuchadnezzar is moving toward God. Here's the beginning of his moving toward God. And then we know in chapter 3, three good men lived a long, long time ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fiery furnace. They were therefore cast. Nebuchadnezzar thought they'd never last. The poor guys that threw them in, they didn't walk in, I'm telling you that. I think you're not going to walk into a fiery furnace. The guys that threw them in all died because the fire was so hot. And Nebuchadnezzar peered through his sunglasses, Oakley's, peering through, and he says, look, there's four people in there. And the fourth one is truly the Son of God, walking with them. And in chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, I'm doing this all to help you recall what happened. 3, 28 and 29. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, listen to this. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. There he is cutting people up again. And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there are no other God who can deliver like this. Now he's another step closer. Number two. He's there. He's getting closer. Chapter 4, another dream. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I want somebody to tell me about this dream. Why did God continue to pursue this guy? Why couldn't God just say, oh, let him go? Let him just have full throttle of his life. And let him die with no chance to ever be with me. And the reason is that God loved him. And God loves us. Keep that in mind. God loved him. God loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. The more God pursued Nebuchadnezzar, the more God spoke to his heart. The more God pursues us, the more God speaks to our heart, and he steps up the game. And he's going to keep on keeping on after us. But I know we can go to the Word in the New Testament, and we know there's a time, if they don't listen, that we dust our shoes off and walk away. And hopefully somebody will listen. This guy Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of all of us. If we had a picture of Nebuchadnezzar and put your face in it, we would all fit in there pretty well, right in that picture. He was a self-made man. Oh, look at all that he had. It's like, you know, we used to talk about J.C. Penney, that guy who had one little store, and look what it became, and he was a believer, and he had homes for boys and girls, and quite the guy. In fact, that J.C. Penney, I've never been there, but I'll probably end up there, he has a retirement home for old pastors and their wives. A freebie. All these years, he put the money away. Might be a nice little apartment. I don't know what it's like, but it's still going. And he was a man that God used to minister to a lot of people, from the smallest to the oldest. We think of Walton, the Walmart guy. One little store. It all starts with one little thing. And look how big it is now. But unfortunately, the Waltons are pretty liberal people, and they're certainly not going to give money to Mahaffey Camp. All right, they're on the different side, but God speaks to those people. So God is pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. Aren't you glad that God pursued you? That God spoke to you, that God ministered to your heart, and that you, if you have given your heart to the Lord. Now, there's a poem called The God of Heaven, The Hound of Heaven. I'm not reading that. I would rather tell you about French Fry, because everybody smiles when I tell about French Fry, the French Bulldog. If I want that French fry to go outside when I want him to go, I'll just say, rabbit. Rabbit. And he goes to the door, and we take him out, and he scans that hillside. Judy won't do this, but I'll unhook the chain, and he sees the rabbit. And he just goes slowly. You know how they do. And then he takes off. The rabbit goes in the bushes, but French Fry's afraid to go in the bushes. But he is a rabbit hound, or a deer hound, or anything that lives in the woods. He wants to get them. He pursues them. And one time, I'm sitting in my reclining chair, and along comes a mouse through our TV room. French Fry's on my lap. He sees that mouse. His ears go up farther than they do already. And he says to me, "What should I do?" I said, "It's a mouse." French Fry jumps on my lap, chases the mouse. And now if I want him to slow down and not roll over me, I said, "Is there a mouse here?" And he stops and scans the room. God pursues us. He was pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. He was doing all he could, all that he wanted to do, to reach that guy. He doesn't give up. Now, in chapter 4, we have another dream. And let me read it again. "There were visions of sugar plums in my head." No, there were visions of my head while on my bed. "I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it." Nobody can answer the dream. And it's about a tree, and the tree is big and mighty. There's strength in the tree. It's like a mighty oak. There's prominence in the tree. There's beauty. There's fruit on the tree. And there's shelter under the tree. So Daniel interprets, and it's not too good, Adam, it's not too good. Wait till you hear this one. Verses 22 through 26, and I don't think we have that one. You got to listen to the preacher. Daniel says, "I got the answer. I've got the interpretation. Listen carefully. It's you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying," it's like an angel coming down. Angel says, "Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stumps and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron, and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass," 7 years, "over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules." A place up in the field, that right off the field in the woods, a branch fell off the big tree. The branch is laying on the ground. The next thing you know, there are shoots that are coming out that branch, and you got about 3 trees growing out of that branch, or that old tree that fell. The promise is that they banded it up and tried to keep it from growing, but it will come back. Okay, we'll go on with this story. The thing with the king is that he wasn't listening. He wasn't listening to the message. He wasn't listening to the pursuit of God after him, wasn't obeying or putting to his thoughts and his memory and his mind those spiritual things. And Daniel said, God's going to take your kingdom. You're not going to be the Lord of all. You're not going to be the King of Kings. But the stump and the root will remain, and you're going to be humbled. Verse 25. Here's what happens to poor Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to this one, Calla. You're going to like this. Well, you'll get it in your mind's eye because I said your name. Okay. They shall drive you from men. Who's they? The people in the palace. They'll drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. Oh boy, he's going out in the field. And he's going to live out in the field like an animal, like a beast. You're going to lose your throne. You're going to lose your mind. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't get it. Two times he was given the true interpretation, and this time he doesn't get it. He's not listening. Nebuchadnezzar's story is our story. Nebuchadnezzar's story is the story of mankind. God speaks. It's not going to happen. It's never going to take place. After all, I built up this kingdom. I built all this up. And we build up our lives and we try to hang on to it and we want to make our own decisions. And rightly so, as long as they're directed by God. And Daniel in verse 27 says this. This is an important part of our message today. Verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Listen to what I'm saying, buddy. You got to get rid of that pride. Listen to my words that I'm giving you. Break off your sins by being righteous, living right, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Listen, pal. If you just listen to what I'm saying, this prosperity might go on longer than you can imagine. What does Nebuchadnezzar do? He blows it off. He blows him off. Look where I'm at. I've got all this. I've got this whole kingdom. It can't fall. I'm in charge. It's mighty. I'm mighty. And in verse 28, all this, here's what happens to this knucklehead. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking. The Lord gave him 12 more months. Think about it. 12 more months to think about what's going to happen. And he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, this guy's still at it, and he says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Look what I have done. And he probably had some people trailing behind him saying, oh yeah, oh yeah, patting him on the back, just encouraging him to keep on thinking this way. And then verses 31 through 33, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. Here it comes. The axe drops on him. The kingdom's departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled. Didn't take long. Immediately, he's out in the middle of the field concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagles. It's me in the morning when I have to rearrange my 5 or 6 hairs on top of my head to look good. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Ugh. I have gone into nursing homes or facilities and I have seen, and you see, folks who have that nail fungus and their nails. Renee, you know about it. She's shaking her head. Oh. It looks terrible. Their nails are long. I say to the nurse, can't you cut them off? Well, the foot doctor's coming. He'll take care of that. We're not messing with, I got to get away from that. Out in the field for 7 years. Listen to this. He's out of his mind. 7 years, no bathing. The hair is like eagle's feathers, clawed fingers. Now, you're going to be impressed with this. And I wonder, come on, I'm going to stay here. There is a syndrome that people can get that they think they're cattle. It's a real syndrome. It's called Bowen therapy, B-O-W-E-N therapy. Someone thinks he's a cow. Well, I think Nebuchadnezzar had that for 7 years. It just makes me laugh. 7 years he thought he was a cow. And he didn't know he had Bowen therapy, but he got it. Sometimes we get things that we don't ask for, but he had it. And I know it's utterly ridiculous, so let's move along. Do you get that? Utterly ridiculous, and let's move along. Okay. I just hate it when I have to explain the jokes. Okay. Renee finally got it. Okay. This guy went insane. Why did he go insane? Because he was prideful. He was proud of what he had accomplished. But there's a happy ending to this. We all like a happy ending. Verses 34 through 37. See, we're getting through the whole book. At the end of the time, how many years? 7 years, you got it. Nebuchadnezzar, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. It took 7 years for this guy to look up to heaven, eating grass, following the herd, Bowen therapy. Took him 7 years to look up. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. I'm telling you, I think Nebuchadnezzar, we're never going to hear anything more about Nebuchadnezzar after this chapter. We may hear his name somewhere in the Bible now and then, but there's nothing going to be much said about him. Kind of ends here. And he says this about God. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And remember, he's kind of giving a testimony here. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom. Remember, the stump was there and the roots were there. Now the kingdom comes back. An excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. What do you think? Do you think he made it to heaven? Sounds like it. What do you think, Malia? Yeah, she's with me. It sounds like it. We'll see when we get there. I like to pull people out that are falling asleep. No, she wasn't falling asleep. Nebuchadnezzar had to hit rock bottom. You can't get much lower than that. Eating and acting like a cow. And God is able to humble us. God pursues us because he loves us. You know how many years chapter 2, 3, and 4 were? 30 years. God was after Nebuchadnezzar for 30 years in between all this. He loves us. There's no sin too great to be forgiven, and he forgives. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with what kind of love? An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I have done what I had to do to draw you to me. God is patient with us. Verse 29 tells us, 12 months to get it, and he didn't get it. But God works. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's patient. And he's long-suffering. Is patience. Now, one of the things that is the greatest obstacle to a surrendered life is that word, pride. We like to hold on to ourselves. But the Lord wants us to humble ourselves. But he'll do it if we don't. We see that evidence right here. If we don't humble ourselves, he will humble. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We need to be eating humble pie. Get rid of that in our lives, that pride. God will hear us as we call out to him. He'll forgive. He'll restore. He'll welcome us to the family. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God allows things in our lives so that we can experience, unfortunately, tragedies and difficulties and things that are hard to believe, but it says that I'll bring you back. I'll bring you to me. And God can be found if we seek him. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Isn't it great that we know and that God pursued us and didn't give up on us? What does he expect from us? He wants you to let him be the king of your life. Let him be the sovereign. Let him lead you and direct you and welcome him into your life with gratitude and gratefulness. Father, thank you that you're so loving. Thank you for the joy that comes to a heart that is totally surrendered to you. And if there is one here who doesn't know or isn't walking with you the way they should be, I pray that you will speak to that heart, that they will forsake that whatever is hindering their spiritual life and growth. Minister to them, speak to their hearts. Bless us with your benediction upon us. Be with us as we sing our last song. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. After the song, we'll be dismissed.